Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, and with me today is my special guest, Dave Zangrilli. Welcome, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Wayne. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. You know, Dave is one of my partners at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, and hopefully he'll be a repeat guest on Blueprint for Wealth from time to time. But let me tell you a little bit about him to get us started. He's a principal in the Family Law and Domestic Relations Practice Group at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, and he represents clients in courts throughout Virginia, including Northern Virginia, and is also very much involved in all aspects of family law. His goal is to meet each individual client's specific needs in the most efficient, thorough, and cost-effective manner possible by providing sound advice, legal and practical, reasonable expectations, and zealous advocacy. Dave was recently selected by his peers as a Virginia Rising Star in the 2002 Virginia Super Lawyer magazine. And most importantly, you have to visit Dave's blog at www.virginiadivorceandcustodylaw.com. That's a mouthful.
Well, hopefully you can find it online. And that was actually 2010, Wayne. I think you said 2002.
2002.
In Super Lawyers. That was 2010. Actually,
2010. Yeah, you probably were just barely starting to practice around 2002.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
How many years have you been practicing?
Going on 10 years.
And you're focused exclusively on family law.
Exclusively, that's right.
Well, today we're going to be talking about prenuptial agreements. So, first of all, what is a prenuptial agreement for the benefit of the listeners out there?
A prenuptial agreement is a contract, just like any other contract, that's entered into prior to marriage, obviously, mm-hmm. and it can govern really almost any aspect of a marital relationship. Most people, I think, know prenups in terms of, you know, protecting assets.
Okay.
But a prenup can also address numerous other issues, such as alimony. And even you get into some what I would call odd issues in terms of how people want to micromanage their own lives during a marriage in terms of who will pay what bills and things like that.
Yeah, I've seen that in the past. In the past, we've done some prenups with the help of family law attorneys, and they always come up in the context of estate planning. It's very frequent that the two are very intertwined. Are they? Are you allowed to do a prenup in all the local jurisdictions?
You are. They're certainly favored under Virginia law. Mm-hmm. Virginia has signed into law the what was called the Uniform Premarital Agreement Act, which is just that. It's a uniform act. I think it's been adopted by close to 30 states in the country. Many of the states have tweaked it a little, so mm-hmm. they're not all the same. D.C. has also adopted that act. Maryland has not, although Maryland also allows prenups. Maryland law is governed by case law. Maryland makes it a little more difficult to enforce a prenup. But in Virginia and certainly in D.C., prenups are definitely favored. And if oftentimes clients will come in and meet with me, and they will have a prenup that was drafted by another lawyer. And they will want to say, hey, you know, can I get out of this? Is this definitely valid? And the answer almost always is yes, it's valid. It's going to be very difficult to try to argue that it's not enforceable.
Wow. I have some fact patterns I'm going to throw at you.
Sure.
I'm not trying to throw you off guard, but, one of the questions that I get often is, you know, the couples get married, they're in love, and then all of a sudden they realize after the fact that they wanted to take care of their affairs and in a contract, but they didn't do so in a prenup before they got married. Is there something that they can do?
They can if they both agree. They mm-hmm. can sign what is sometimes called a marital agreement.
Okay.
Marital agreement, I think that the term tends to reflect an agreement that's signed by a couple who wants to stay married.
Okay.
So they just want to, you know, change something that's either in an existing prenup or if they didn't have a prenup in the first place. When you call it what's commonly called a property settlement agreement, that's usually when the parties are splitting up.
I see.
Want to get a divorce and actually divide their assets and so on and so forth.
So does the husband and wife or the groom and the bride each need to have their own lawyer to have an enforceable prenuptial agreement?
They don't. It's not required under Virginia law. We often advise clients to have their spouse take it to a lawyer. And the reason because is it just kind of smells better. It's from our perspective, it's even more difficult to try to invalidate a prenup if the other spouse was represented by competent counsel. But it's not required. It actually often amazes me that people will sign things that they're seeing for the first time without counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Many prenups are signed where only one party has a lawyer.
You know, that's something that I've often cautioned clients against is doing it with one lawyer involved. I know it'll keep the cost down, but if you really want to have an enforceable document and both parties are represented by separate counsel, it does help. But then it might raise some contentious issues that you might not otherwise want to deal with before you're getting married.
That's usually correct. When you have two lawyers, it tends to be a more contentious process.
Yeah, absolutely. So are all prenups the same?
Prenups are not the same. You know, I've been doing this 10 years, like I said, and I can probably count on one hand the number of prenups that are identical.
Okay.
People, under Virginia law, like I said earlier, you can really put almost anything in a prenuptial agreement, property, alimony. The only issues you really can't put in a prenup, or you can, but they won't be enforceable, and those are issues relating to children.
Ah.
You can't say what's going to happen with custody or visitation or child support.
Why is that?
Under Virginia law, the court is the ultimate arbiter of what's in the children's best interest.
Okay.
So you can put something in a prenuptial agreement. You can even put something in a postnuptial agreement, in a property settlement agreement, for example, that says, here's the custody arrangement, here's the visitation arrangement, here's the child support. But at the end of the day, the judge can still decide, well, we don't think that's in the children's best interest. And the court can ultimately do whatever they want.
Okay. Now, I have clients, we typically represent a lot of high net worth clients that they may, you know, walk into a marriage already wealthy, that they've established their fortune, or they may have inherited some money. And then there's somebody on the other side of the table who may not be from wealth. Are those the typical candidates that need prenups? Tell us a little bit about who is the best candidate for a prenuptial agreement and how you make them enforceable.
That's a great question. In my experience, many clients or prospective clients walk into my office and they say, I want a prenup, but they don't really need a prenup. And many people simply want to accomplish this, that whatever they own now prior to the marriage remains their separate property if they get divorced.
Okay.
Under Virginia law, that's already the situation.
Right. I had always understood if you have assets in a separate bank account, it doesn't even have to be in a trust. If it's in a separate bank account and you keep it separate, it's yours.
That's absolutely
right. If you
right.
brought it into the marriage.
Correct. Anything okay. you own on the date of marriage is yours and stays yours unless you commingle it.
Okay.
Unless you put it in an account that's titled in your spouse's name as well, or if you buy a new asset such as a house, and you can kind of, you know, that gets a little bit complicated. But if you keep things separate, it's your separate asset. So you don't need a prenuptial agreement to accomplish that. You know, one category of folks who can really benefit from a prenuptial agreement are those folks who have children from a prior marriage.
Okay.
Under Virginia law, as you know, Wayne, because this is really your bailiwick, you can't disinherit your spouse.
Right.
You can execute a will which says my spouse gets nothing. But at the end of the day, if you die, that spouse is still going to get something. Under, I think it's called the elective share.
That's right.
They're entitled to a third of the deceased spouse's estate. But the prenup can really trump that. So, you know, if you have children from a prior marriage in the prenuptial agreement, you can be very specific and state exactly what they're going to get.
Okay. And that's enforceable.
That's enforceable.
It's enforceable against your estate.
Correct.
And your executor.
Yep.
And your trustee of a trust that you may have established. So, you know, for the listeners out there, a prenuptial agreement, as Dave points out, a prenuptial agreement is valid, but it's also important if you want to protect the interests of children from a first marriage against the claims of a spouse from a second or third marriage.
And that's often one of the most contentious issues when you're negotiating a prenup. It's when you're representing folks who are in their 50s or 60s getting
right.
remarried, and they have children who are 30 or 40, and they're worried about essentially getting disinherited, so to speak.
Right.
So that can create a lot of problems.
Do the kids often push the parents into the prenuptial agreement?
I've seen it go both ways, to be honest, pushing them to do it and pushing them not to do
not
it, depending
do it.
On
okay.
you know whether their parent is the one who has the wealth or who doesn't.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know, another category of folks who can really benefit from a prenup are those who are worried about paying alimony. And of course, historically, that's been the husband. Now, slowly but surely, that's starting to change. But historically, obviously, husbands have been one paying alimony.
Okay.
And in a prenup in Virginia, some states don't allow it. California, for example, you cannot put alimony into a prenup.
So you can't waive the obligation to pay alimony.
Correct. But in Virginia, you can.
You can.
You can.
How about Maryland and D.C.?
Maryland and D.C., you can as well.
Wow.
You can as well. So you can either waive it, or people get very creative with alimony. It's one of my favorite provisions to draft. Many people do formulas. You know, if we're married for less than 3 years, you don't get any alimony. If we're married for 3 to 10 years, you get X amount.
Is that enforceable? I've often been asked that question.
It is.
That's fascinating. And it doesn't matter that the spouse may not have been represented by counsel. If they signed off on it and they were aware that it was in the agreement, that's an enforceable provision.
That's correct. The only way you can really get out of a prenup, there's two grounds. Number one is if it really wasn't voluntary. And essentially that means someone had a gun to your head when you signed the prenup. Because there's plenty of case law in Virginia where where the husband or wife presented the prenup to the other potential spouse the day before, the wedding. Marriage. Right. And it's still valid. It really is.
Okay.
You really have to have a gun to your head. The other ground is if it's two prongs. Number one, was the agreement unconscionable when it was signed?
That means it's so unfair that a court won't recognize it. Right?
Correct. Okay. But not only does it have to be unconscionable, on top of that, the court has to find that there wasn't a reasonable disclosure of the person's assets and liabilities prior to signing the prenup.
So that's a key fact here. It's not just the agreement and the provisions of the agreement that's important. It's making sure that the other person is aware of everything that you had.
That's correct. And we always attach to the prenup at the very end a list of each spouse's assets and liabilities.
Okay.
And it doesn't need to be all-inclusive. You don't need to put furniture and silverware and things like that. But, you know, all the big stuff certainly needs to go on there to really ensure it's going to be enforceable.
So what are the benefits of having a prenup then?
There's a few. I think for my money, the biggest benefit to having a prenup, certainly speaking generally, is that number one, it provides certainty. And number two, it can save a lot of money in lawyer's fees. What do I mean by that?
Yeah.
In a prenup, you can govern exactly what's going to happen when you get divorced, who keeps what property, what the deal is with the alimony, and things like that. So essentially, if and when you and your spouse split up, there's nothing to fight about. In Virginia...
Isn't that anticipating divorce, though? I've had some people say to me, you know, and if we enter into a prenup, we're going to get into this fight. And it's like almost as if we were planning for our divorce.
In effect, that's exactly what happens. You know, but it takes the uncertainty out of it. And one of the main...
So for the real pragmatic listener out there, prenups are really good. But for those that are romantically inclined and very smitten... prenups may not work.
That's right. It's a tough way to start a marriage when you've got to start haggling over finances and what's going to happen when you get divorced. That should be the last thing you're thinking about,
right?
When you're signing a prenup. But under Virginia law, so much of it when you're talking about divorce is what's reasonable.
Okay.
The judges have a tremendous amount of discretion. You know, in Fairfax County, for example, there's 14 judges in the circuit court. And, you know, one of our common sayings is on a given day, you'll win in front of seven and lose in front of the other seven.
Wow.
Just because so much of it is in the court's discretion. You know, when the court divides property, for example, the standard is equitable distribution. What does that mean?
It doesn't mean equal, right?
It doesn't mean equal. Right. It essentially means what's fair. And what's fair to one judge is very different than what's fair to another judge. So in a prenup, you can take all of that uncertainty out of the equation by saying, you know, when we get divorced, I keep this, you keep this, so on and so forth. It also saves a tremendous amount of time. The divorce process is very slow. You know, that's one of the things that really irks clients, that, you know, that everybody wants to be divorced yesterday.
Right.
The process is very slow. From the time you file the divorce, it's usually about 1 year until the divorce is actually final. And that's if it's moving quickly. It can certainly take a lot longer than that.
Sure. And a contested one, I imagine it could take years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the attorney's fees, as you well know, I mean, they can reach $50,000, $100,000 very quickly.
Right.
So you kind of take all of that out of the equation when you do the prenup.
So that's good planning then.
That's good planning. It's essentially, it's similar to estate planning. You know, another benefit of a prenup is, as I talked about earlier, that's alimony.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm speaking of alimony, speaking of unpredictability of the court process, alimony is probably the single most unpredictable issue because the judges have almost total discretion. I tell my clients that I gave up years ago trying to predict exactly what a judge is going to do when they award alimony.
Right.
Because they can decide how long to award it for, how much to award it for. It's just a huge benefit to be able to say exactly how much alimony you're going to pay, if any, you know, prior to you even get into the marriage. And then, of course, the obvious benefit is, which most people associate with the prenup, is that I get to keep my property. It's a protection, so to speak, against the, you know, quote unquote, gold digging spouse.
Right.
And something some people don't think about is that you can also, if you're the spouse without any money, it's a way to get assets that you otherwise wouldn't be entitled to, because sometimes spouses will agree, you know, I'll say, I'm not going to marry you unless you give me X.
So we're talking with Dave Zangrilli, my partner at Odin Feldman and Pittleman. Dave, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find out more about prenups?
They can either call me at the office, Wayne, and my direct number is 703-218-2152, or they can certainly email me at david.zangrilli, Zangrilli, at OFPlaw.com.
Dave, thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thanks for having me, Wayne.
And thanks for listening. Listen next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.